I know it's a busy day. The weather gives you a lot of options for things to do outside. Working in the garden, or maybe finishing up a project, or taking advantage of the first summer weekend, officially, to head off somewhere. And today we're fortunate to help you occupy your time with a couple special guests who are here. They are Rick Tony and Sabrina Volpe, who are here representing the Luminari program. And Rick, I'm going to start with you. Good morning. Welcome. Let me get your microphone on. I told you off the air a moment ago, the pressure is more on me than either of you to do things correctly. I think now I can hear you just fine. And tell me a little bit about the program, Rick. It's called Luminari, and I Want to Be an Ambassador is the current program that you're in the midst of. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, we just finished up 4 days of workshops and sessions in Pittsburgh, held at the John Hines History Center. And on Monday, we head out for 3 days in Washington, D.C., where students will get to see diplomats in their native setting in Embassy Row. We're going to be visiting the Embassy of Singapore and Brazil and the State Department. So the program is meant to develop those diplomatic and ambassador skills in our students.
What was the genesis for coming up with this program? Somebody must have thought people need to learn these skills, not just kids, but people in general. How did this come about?
The program came about from a woman named Hilda Pang Fu, who some of you might know. She's a philanthropist in Pittsburgh and the spouse of Dr. Freddie Fu. And a few years ago, Hilda started the Luminari Umbrella Program and knew that the Ambassador Program would be the first camp underneath Luminari. And the idea is to develop those communication skills, global awareness skills in students, and furthermore, for them to take those skills after the program and apply them in their neighborhoods, in their religious institutions, and in their schools.
I think a lot of people are concerned these days that as our world becomes closer and tighter knit, and that we're able to interact with people from other countries more quickly and easily than ever before, that even though technology advances at such a rate and that people can do such things, what will never be quite that fast is what it takes to actually connect with another person and successfully engage another person such that true understanding takes place. And having just finished the classroom activities with a bunch of kids that you're working with, who I imagine are all mid-teens, late teens.
Right, between 8th and 11th grade.
It must be something to try to encourage those skills, because you almost have something very bimodal. You have the instant ability to actually exchange information with somebody from another country, maybe through a quick text message. But you've got the exact opposite of that, the very deliberate and methodical way of cultivating a relationship with somebody else. And I'd be curious if you can comment a little bit on that.
Exactly. Well, just yesterday we had a business roundtable discussion with five business leaders from Pittsburgh that work in an international setting often. And they really emphasized skills that we don't always teach in a traditional school, skills like empathy and communicating clearly, speaking clearly. So the idea of emails and texting, sometimes the message can get lost. You have no chance for voice inflection, no chance for nonverbal communication. So these are all the types of things that we looked at over the course of the 4 days. And the business leaders, all of them spoke about the passion and the communication that is central when you're dealing with anyone, whether locally or globally. And that's the kind of thing that can be lost sometimes in the instant media that's out there today.
Now, and we're going to turn to Sabrina in just a moment, but can you comment a little bit about how kids reacted to getting that lesson or that discussion?
Well, I think in some ways students know a lot of the things that we're saying. It's just sometimes it's a tough lesson that you need hard work. You need to really connect with people. There really is no easy way. And I think deep down students know that. And it's good to see successful business people and educators sort of reaffirm that and affirm that you can say, I don't know, and you really need to depend on communicating with others. I think these are things that students inherently know, and it's just a nice reinforcement to hear that from the adults in the community.
I should mention that Rick is a math teacher at Shadyside Academy, and some might be very surprised that somebody teaching something as allegedly rote as mathematics would be involved in a program that typically people use the term soft skills. I don't know if I like that term, but I'll use it anyway. Would be involved in something that is a lot less discreet and a bit more subject to the softer edges. Help me understand your passion for getting involved in this yourself.
Well, first, I have to say that I won't agree with your premise that mathematics is rote.
I agree with somebody with an engineering degree. You and I are just getting to know each other. I don't think math is rote at all. In fact, some of the great philosophers of our time and of ancient times were mathematicians.
Exactly. I actually am not teaching the program. I'm the director of the program. So my job was to set up students, connect students with people that do diplomacy in the real world. We drew from Washington, D.C., a conflict resolution expert, and the business roundtable people. So I brought the organizational skills and the connections that I have at Shadyside Academy to make sure that our students had a good program that I didn't really teach all that much.
Yet you still took the assignment, so you must have some interest in this overall aspect of it. Is it something you've observed at all, or that's found you, you could just as easily have had a couple weeks in the sun here?
Right.
As you see the world change and as you see students change in your years at teaching, is this something that's really fulfilling a niche that just hasn't been filled before as easily?
Yeah, I think Sabrina will speak to the where this fills in her education. But to come back to the math side of things, I teach a course called Game Theory, and it's kind of an unusual juxtaposition, if you will, of diplomacy and mathematics. And I taught one lesson this week about the mathematics of trust and cooperation and retaliation and all these sorts of things that are very related to diplomacy, and in reality were developed by a mathematician, John Nash, as you may have seen in his biography. So there is a connection between mathematics and diplomacy. But as a teacher on a daily basis, I'm always encouraging students to put down don't text your friend. Let's talk to someone face to face, to speak clearly, and to represent themselves and their family. So I think this does fill an important niche.
Well, let's bring Sabrina into the conversation. Sabrina Volpe is at Chartiers High School, is that right?
Correct.
And tell me a little bit more about yourself before we talk about the program.
Well, I'm going to be a rising senior at Chartiers Valley. I don't know. I like to do musicals and fall play after school, and I enjoy learning about other cultures. I love speaking French, and I hope to travel abroad one day and work.
When did you start with French?
Sixth grade at my old school, Winchester Thurston.
Wow, and we're doing a project at Winchester Thurston right now. I'll bet you know Jennifer Krar, the librarian.
Yes, I do. She's really nice.
Yeah, she's involved, and Teresa DeFlitch and a few others. Where we actually, in fact, it's related somewhat to what you've just been through, is fifth graders, as part of their unit on immigration, are interviewing adults that were born in other countries under our supervision to gather their oral histories so they can talk a little bit more and learn more from a human being rather than from a website or a textbook about people in other countries. What do you remember why you chose French growing up? I mean, at the age of 11?
Well, I love learning about languages. And there was just something about French that pulled me. The accent, just it made me feel so happy speaking it and hearing people speak it. It's probably just why I joined.
Well, that's great. And did you have a chance to sample different languages?
Yes. I know a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of Japanese. So
your hope after graduating is to do some sort of work related to international relations or diplomacy?
Yeah. In college, I hope to study international relations in French and maybe minor in another language.
Do you know where you'd like to go?
Crossing fingers, Georgetown.
Good for you. That's a great school. Have you been there?
No, but I'm going to visit this summer.
Now, before I forget, and before we talk in more detail about your experiences over the past week, would you like to say hello to anybody who might be tuned in? There's one guy out there who I think you know who's listening, who is your dad.
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to my dad and my mom if she's listening.
I hope she is.
I hope she is, too.
If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking about Luminari. It's 13 minutes before 10 o'clock. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, and we have two reps here from the program today. Rick Tony, who is the person who directed it and took care of all the logistics, and there were a number of different classes where a group of about a dozen kids.
17.
17, mm-hmm. Wow, all together. The population grew quite a lot in the last 10 days or so when I last talked with Hilda. I'm glad. Had a series of workshops and interactive experiences all around diplomacy. It's a program called I Want to Be an Ambassador. And can you tell us a little bit about what your week's been like?
Well, every morning we meet at 9, and we usually have a speaker, and it's very interactive. We learned Mandarin and some...
Hausa.
Hausa.
North African language.
And then we have a break, and we'd meet with more people. We learned about how body language really affects how people view you, and if sometimes a thumbs up can be very offensive in other countries. And then we had lunch, and we met with all these people from Pittsburgh. We met with some guy from Wells Fargo, and
two representatives from Kennametal, Lainey Lazari from Simple Sugars, who's a young woman that started her own
business.
You
had Bill Lambert from Mind Safety, who's an old friend of mine.
Yeah.
And what was it like to talk with these business people?
Awe-inspiring. I really hope one day that I can be in their position and relay my experiences back to young students.
I'm curious... did you have any, you're clearly very bright and you've had a lot of life's experiences, I think, already.
Thank you.
But did some things, were you surprised by some things you learned? Did you have some existing perceptions that were challenged or some things you believed that were more or less erased or reversed as a result of what you've seen so far?
Yeah, we did this one exercise where we were given a gift, and we had no clue what it was, and I got a bulldog, and it was painted like a two-year-old would paint something from Color Me Mine.
So was it in a box?
It was just wrapped very carelessly in tissue paper.
Okay, so you couldn't see it was obscured by the paper. Okay.
Yeah, and you open it up, and you have less than a second to... respond in a neutral way without offending the person who gave you the gift or, you know, saying, I love it and making that gift become a part of a series for the rest of your life. And I thought it was very awe-inspiring because, or eye-opening, because it's that millisecond when you receive a gift or you eat a new food where you could offend someone just by your facial expressions or by what you say. And it really has made me stop and think and try to make sure my body language and what I'm saying shows people that I'm not trying to be offensive.
Now, that's interesting. So what do you say when you get a gift like that? If I were to give you... this imaginary box and you don't know what's in it, how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say thank you, first of all, for any type of gift being given. Mm-hmm. And depending on what's in the box, say if it was a bulldog, for example, oh, my favorite high school, their mascot is the bulldog, and try to relay the conversation somewhere else, try to pick up a conversation without insulting the poorly painted bulldog or saying, I love it, please give me more bulldogs, and end up having a room full of plastic bulldogs.
So it's sort of, and this is actually taught in media training in dealing with reporters often, is you can manage the immediate, which is getting that particular gift, or in the case of a reporter who is hostile or who is, let's say, an enterprising reporter doing an investigation, you can answer the immediate question and then sort of gently redirect to something more neutral or more conversational. If you were, I can remember years ago, a lot of my background is environmental engineering and science, and being asked, don't you feel dangerous, or don't you feel like your health is in danger working with all these toxic chemicals? And my answer was, well, I don't really, but I appreciate your concern. Actually, I feel very well protected because of all of the different things. Let me tell you a little bit about what we do. So it was a way to not really argue or fight, but to illuminate instead, which is, I think, why it's so appropriate for this program to be under Luminari. What other things stand out from you or for you as you look back?
Especially learning Mandarin.
You can't learn Mandarin in a day.
Just we learned little things like ni hao and ni hao ma is hello and how are you. And just how it was presented. We actually also learned Tai Chi while learning Mandarin, and that was very amazing. It actually, we all laughed about it because the one teacher, he spoke to us completely in Mandarin. So we had to really pay attention to how his expressions were and what he was trying to relay to us. And learning Chinese, learning Tai Chi while speaking Mandarin was even more amazing because, you know, you have to really pay attention to how his movements are. And if he stops you and says, watch, you have to really be paying attention.
This is Sabrina Volpe, who is at Chartiers High School. She's a rising senior there. And Rick Tony is here, too. They're representing the I Want to Be an Ambassador program, which is a program of Luminari, a nonprofit. You can learn more about it at luminari.org. Now, you're off to Washington, D.C., Rick, right. Leaving Monday?
Early Monday morning.
And
yes.
What's on tap for that trip?
We're going directly to a museum. It's the Museum of Native Americans, and having lunch there. And then we have a visit with Ambassador Chan from the Embassy of Singapore. So we'll actually go to the embassy and meet with the ambassador. And then in the evening, some tours of D.C., the monuments. And Tuesday, much of the day will be spent at the State Department. We have a tour of the State Department. We're meeting with two ambassadors, including Ambassador Marshall, whose specialty is protocol. And then we were going to go to the Embassy of Brazil, but it's under renovation. And they've been very accommodating. We're going to actually go to the residence of a diplomat from Brazil.
That's pretty exciting.
Hang at his house, right, exactly.
That's very. How do you prepare for a trip like that, Sabrina? You've got clothing issues and probably lots of questions. That's got to be a hard trip to prepare for.
Well, they gave us a checklist for what to pack, so I didn't have to worry about that. But we had to do some research on our own, and I used the CIA World Fact Book to search just random information about Singapore and Brazil. And they relayed some information over about how to address the Singaporean ambassador and the Brazilian representative. So it's a little outside work and a little prepared from Luminari.
Right. Students had some questions, things like, am I supposed to bow or not? Or do I call this person Mr. or Mrs. or Ambassador? And these are all things that we needed to research to be prepared so as to not offend.
I'm curious, Sabrina, how transferable some of what you've learned so far is to more common day-to-day experiences, such as interacting with a cashier in a store, or a teller in a bank, or somebody sitting next to you on a bus, or somebody who you will meet during your first year in Georgetown that you've never met before. Have you thought about that a little bit?
Yeah, the body language and how you present yourself really plays into everyday life. Whether someone sits next to you on the bus and smells really bad, you still have to put on that smiling face and make sure you don't offend them. Or, you know, you're meeting someone new for the first time. You don't want to go in with a grim look on your face and offend the person just because you think they look scary or not inviting.
That's something, you know, to take with you wherever you go. How has, you've got 17 people, that's a lot of people in one class over a pretty short period of time. Did you know anybody at the start?
No, not at all.
And how do you feel about these people now after 4 days in a room with them?
Oh, I love them. They're all really nice. It's a good group of kids. At the beginning, we really didn't talk to each other, but after we did some exercises, we really became close.
That's good. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, and I want to ask each of you if you have anything else you would like to mention. And Rick, I'll turn to you first.
Well, I'll actually respond to the question you just asked Sabrina about your everyday interactions. During the business roundtable yesterday, one of the CEOs, multi-billion dollar company, said, "Every day I learn from every new person I meet." And so it's important to listen actively and really connect with all those people that are willing to connect with you. And I think, as you said, in this day and age of instant communication, we think we're connected, but sometimes it's just on the surface and you're not really listening to what someone has to say. So for me, even as an educator and as just as a human, you know, the idea of really learning something from everybody you meet was eye-opening, and I thought insightful.
And Sabrina?
I just want to say I want to be an ambassador.
You knew that going in, but you feel that even more so now?
Well, that's the slogan, and that's the program. We call it I Want to Be an Ambassador, but I do want to be an ambassador, and I think this program will really help me.
Well, I hope so. You can learn more about this program at luminari.org. I'm sure it will be offered again next summer, and I know there are other programs being offered by Luminari that are emerging, and again, there's a mailing list and a website there, and I want to thank you both.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you.
Being here. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUP FM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and live and on demand at slbradio.org, where it's always Saturday.